Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
You know what I feel like we need big time? We need memes. Memes to illustrate Jimmy Butler's return to the Minnesota Timberwolves. You guys are so good with memes. And with GIFs, but I'm thinking mostly memes. And honestly, I don't think there's any way that you can use the Michael Jordan crying meme to apply in this situation. I know that's everybody's favorite. But considering how Jimmy returned to the Timberwolves, first practice, first appearance in the preseason, and blew up the gym, in a manner of speaking, I'm believing that we have memes out there that can illustrate it perfectly. And if you come up with an accurate depiction of Jimmy Butler using 3, 4, 5 guys from the third string and beating the rest of the starters, if you can come up with a meme to illustrate or capture the way he walked in and reportedly screamed at everyone when after his coach, the general manager, his teammates, if you can come up with the perfect memes, well then I'm all about it. We will retweet them. I will use my crying so hard I'm laughing emojis. But I'm thinking after what I've seen on the internet today and how people really enjoyed the reports, the speculation, the rumors, and the words of Butler himself. If you haven't heard his conversation with Rachel Nichols, there's a lot in there. Now, he's honest. He's open. He's raw. But still, a little cryptic. Not exactly sure what he wants or what would fix this relationship. Not with Tom Thibodeau, because they go way back. But with his teammates. Can they move forward? Butler told Rachel that the situation is not fixed just because he showed up at practice. That it could be fixable, but he didn't believe it was going to be fixed. All right, so that's kind of a progression there. He told Rachel, just because he showed up, it's not fixed. Don't assume it's fixed. That, yes, it could be fixable, but he still didn't believe it would be fixed. Now, does that mean he gets traded? I don't know. And if you're the general manager of another team who might be interested in trading for Butler, after what you've heard about practice Wednesday, in which he challenged everybody, in which he let out a really long spew of profanities, again, reportedly, although Butler says the accounts are accurate of what happened in practice, he told Rachel, after practice, they sat down for an interview 2 hours after practice. And if you listen to the interview, he said, yeah, what you've heard is accurate. So he's not denying it. He's not saying that these are erroneous reports coming from Adrian Wojnarowski and others. He's saying what you've heard is accurate. It was raw me. All my emotions came out at once. I hadn't played basketball in a really long time, and that emotion poured out of me. So if you're one of his teammates, if you're his coach, maybe if you're Thibodeau, because you know Jimmy Butler, you're not too concerned about it. Still, though, Butler returned to hoop it up, but he's not necessarily back for the season. And how could that be worked out? I mean, we're not that far away. We're a few days away from the season tipping off. So send me your Jimmy Butler blowing up the gym memes. And again, I'll just clarify, I'm speaking figuratively, not literally. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Again, send us your memes, and the best ones will get retweeted, and you'll get mentioned, because that's what everybody wants, right? To get mentioned and talked about on the radio show. Or maybe you don't. Either way, that's what you get if you send the great memes. We had a Stanley Cup final rematch tonight in D.C., and we're going to spend a couple of minutes with former NHL winger and NBC Sports Washington analyst Alan May. He'll join us. They had a post game, then they do a podcast. And so he's going to join us coming up in a half hour here on the show. And we'll check in with the Stanley Cup champions and how different things feel to start the year. Alex Ovechkin with a pair of goals in this one on Wednesday night. What else? We're getting set for the National League Championship Series to start on Friday. The American League Championship Series to begin on Saturday. And I love some of the 6 degrees of separation when it comes to the Astros and when it comes to the Red Sox. And, of course, they both won 100 games, which I hope means we're going to get a classic, I mean epic ALCS. And I have high hopes for the NLCS as well because of the pitching. What we've seen from the Dodgers starters and what we've seen from the Milwaukee bullpen, maybe the clash of the Titans in the NLCS, plus the Brewers have home field advantage. The Red Sox have home field, by the way, in the opener on Saturday. Justin Verlander against Chris Sale. Wowzers. That's how we start on Saturday in the ALCS. Do you guys remember the start of the ALDS between the Astros and the Indians? I mean, it was primetime worthy. I'll give you that, Alex Bregman. Justin Verlander and Corey Kluber. Now, Kluber didn't have a great outing, but Verlander did what Verlander does in the playoffs. So in the first couple days, you've got Clayton Kershaw. We still don't know who's going to start for the Brewers, but I think Craig Counsell likes it that way in his opener. We don't have the starters for game two of the NLCS. But game one, I mentioned, American League is Verlander and Sale. And then game two is Gerrit Cole and David Price. Craig Counsell and Dave Roberts don't want you to know anything before you have to. Very cryptic about who will start, who won't start, what the rotation looks like. It's a game of chess in the National League Championship Series. So we've got Major League Baseball coming up as well. And then this time tomorrow, we'll be talking about the start of week six in the NFL. It begins with a couple of teams in desperate need of a win, a couple of teams who are still very much within striking distance of the NFC East lead. I thought it was interesting. I heard Saquon Barkley with a couple of comments on Wednesday, and he said, I mean, I haven't been around very long in the NFL, but I'm pretty sure the team that wins the division goes to the playoffs. I laughed out loud in my car. Okay, smart aleck. Yes, in fact, the team that wins the division does go to the playoffs, which means in the NFC East, and it's not the only division that's like this, because it's early in the season and because very few teams have set themselves apart from the pack, very few teams are streaking away from the rest of their division. You really only have the NFC West, where the Rams already have a 3-game division lead. That's one. And then the AFC West, where it's a 2-game lead from the Chiefs back to the Chargers. Otherwise, pretty much everything else is still up for grabs. We've got some awesome divisional matchups this weekend, as well as a couple of high-profile games, which leads me to this question. I don't think around the country this is a difficult choice, but maybe I'm wrong. I think for the most part, if you put a high-profile NFL game up against a high-profile baseball game, even though it's preseason, I'm sorry, postseason, duh, the ratings will tell you time and again that the NFL attracts a much greater audience. But do you know coming up on Sunday night, now the start times are a little bit straddled, but the Red Sox will host the Astros in game 2 of the ALCS at what is 7 o'clock local time. So it's 6 o'clock Houston time, but it's 7 o'clock Boston time where the game will be held. And an hour later, you've got the start of Patriots Chiefs. So I hope you guys who have interest in both are all set up with multiple TVs or a place where you can go to watch both games. Or maybe you're just going to give your remote a workout. You're going to burn up the old remote. I went to the dentist on Wednesday, and the drill, it just freaks me out. It's a little bitty drill. Even though you can't feel it, once they finally apply enough Novocaine, they actually had to do that multiple times with me. I don't know what that says about my mouth. Anyway, the crazy thing is you can still hear it, even if you can't feel it. You can hear it, and then you can smell it. You know the drill, it like kicks up some smoke, right? And so it's a really disconcerting smell because you realize that smell is coming from the drill that is now drilling into your tooth. Thankfully, it was over pretty quickly. Though, and I don't think there's any swelling. I'm not going to take a picture to show you. It wasn't a drill like that. It was little bitty. It was more like a zee, something like that, you know? Anyway, so it's just still weird to think about someone drilling into a tooth, even if you can't necessarily feel it. But that smoke that pops up, that comes out of your mouth when you have someone drilling, the dentist drilling into your tooth. She gave me a stress ball, by the way. So there you go. That's the one. She gave me a stress ball so that I could squeeze on it. She's like, squeeze your stress ball, squeeze your stress. She was really cute. Anyway, I think that kind of smoke, those little puffs of smoke, and you can smell those. That's kind of what should be happening with your remote on Sunday night. If you've got both Patriots and Red Sox in your sights in New England, or if you're around the country like us, I mean, we're going to be watching both games, of course, because they're both huge, not just for the show, but as sports fans. This is the high-profile game of the weekend in the NFL. And game 2 of the ALCS. Of course, I guess if David Price does it last past the second inning, if the Astros get to him, maybe you won't have to watch every pitch after that. But that might just be what he does against the Yankees. Okay, so what gets your attention on Sunday night? I can see that you're already sending me tweets. I hope that these are awesome. I'm excited. So you can send them to me, or you can send them to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. It's hard to read a meme on the air, but we will retweet them. So what memes do you have for Jimmy Butler walking into Timberwolves practice, challenging everybody everywhere? He pulled a Kobe Bryant, and still don't know if that situation can be fixed. Straight ahead, you're not going to believe what happened to me today. I wish I was making this up, but I'm not, and it has something to do with the dentist. I still can't believe it happened, but it's just my life. My life exists so that I have stories to tell on the air. You're going to love it. And you're not going to believe me. And no, I don't have a picture. There was absolutely no way to take a picture of it. But you're not going to believe it. All right, so that's coming up. Find me on Twitter. Find me on Facebook. After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
I wish they had a Hall of Fame for fans. Man, we could contribute a lot of different nominations, that is for sure. Already, I see some of your cool memes that are landing in our Twitter inbox, and Chris has promised to retweet them. How would you depict one Jimmy Butler returning to Timberwolves practice and essentially tearing it up? There are reports that not only did he scream and yell at his teammates, at his general manager, including the challenge to his GM that you bleeping need me. You can't win without me. I wish we had that for the Hall of Flame induction that we'll be doing this time tomorrow. Finally, we haven't done a Hall of Flame induction in forever, but we will. We've got four really good candidates. Honestly, I have no idea which one is going to win. Sometimes when we start out with the audio and we look to induct another member of the After Hours Hall of Flame, I think, oh, yeah, well, I'm pretty sure who's going to win in this case. But this week, no clue. This is going to be awesome. Thank you, Kawhi, for weighing in. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully. Mortgage confidently. Thinking of those of you who are in the path of Tropical Storm Michael. So as I was coming into work, this storm did get downgraded from a hurricane to a tropical storm, but it's still really dangerous. The good news is it's moving quickly enough that even as it drops a ton of rain, now that it's over land, it's going about 20 miles per hour, according to the latest reports, which means it's not staying in any one place for too long. Completely the opposite of Hurricane Florence, but it's still deadly, damaging winds, flooding rainfall. My best friend lives in Atlanta, and she was telling me that they were bracing for thunderstorms and for some, you know, some flash flooding on the roads and stuff, and that they had canceled a lot of school activities because of it. The last I knew, it was over central Georgia, and looking at one of the pictures, and it appears to be over central Georgia heading for South Carolina, if it's not there already. I know that we have a lot of listeners in Atlanta, in South Carolina, and of course, on up the East Coast. So if you're in the path of Michael, you can send us a tweet. A-Law Radio, over 500,000 people are without power across the Southeast. And according to the National Weather Service, this is the third most intense U.S. landfall on record. The storm was huge as it was approaching the Florida Panhandle, of course, Gulf Shores, Alabama, also in that same area. And it was a Category 4, just shy of a Cat 5 when it made landfall, and now it has lost some of its intensity. But again, different than, say, Hurricane Florence, which was moving really slowly, but at least had been downgraded almost to a tropical storm by the time it made landfall. That's not the case with Michael. Michael is just now a tropical storm, but for the bulk of Wednesday, it was a hurricane. And so thinking of those of you who are in that path, and we want to help people that are affected by Hurricane Michael, you can text Michael in all caps, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, text Michael to 90999. Really easy to remember, 90999. And you can donate $10 that way to the American Red Cross Hurricane Michael Relief. I know there are a lot of different organizations that are trying to help that will ask for donations. But we all know the American Red Cross can be trusted and is on the scene whenever there is a devastating event like this one. So text Michael to 90999 and you can donate $10 to American Red Cross Hurricane Michael Relief. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Let's see, coming up in 15 minutes, we're going to spend some time in Washington, D.C., where we'll talk to former NHL winger and NBC Sports Washington analyst Alan May, who was there inside the arena as we got an early season Stanley Cup final rematch. Kind of fun to think about the recent fan bases who have gotten this monkey off their back, so to speak. The Capitals, of course, their first Stanley Cup. The Eagles, the Astros, even going back to, say, the Chicago Cubs, who hadn't won in over a century. It's fun to get these types of storylines, and I love it when more fans around the country can feel that elation and that euphoria that comes with your team finally breaking through and reaching the promised land. So we'll talk to Alan in 10 minutes here on CBS Sports Radio following the update. I promised you I would tell you what happened to me on Wednesday, and I swear I'm not making this up. I never make stories up. That's the crazy thing about me and my life. I don't know how these things happen, but they do. I seem to be a magnet for weird stuff or just funny, awkward, goofy things. Some of it I do to myself because I'm a total klutz. I'll just tell you the truth. When I'm on a basketball court, I'm all good. But any other time, I'm a huge klutz. I bump into furniture in my house. I walk into walls that haven't moved. They're the same walls that are always in my house, and yet somehow I miscalculate and walk into them. I'm the person who puts groceries in my car and somehow forgets that the car door has to close, and I go to close the door and it slams into my shoulder. I mean, I'm like that. I'm a total klutz. But this I had nothing to do with. This was just wrong place, wrong time. And I'm telling you what, a million more times, if this happened, it would never happen the way that it did on Wednesday.
Oh, no!
For those of you who follow me on Twitter, you know that I had talked about the rainstorm of acorns that is taking place in my neighborhood. And I suspect that's the way it is for a lot of people around the country. If you have trees that drop acorns, that's what happens in the fall. And so I could hear every time I would walk my dog or, you know, I would drive around the neighborhood. I can hear the acorns falling from the trees and crashing into vehicles. And they make this really loud bang, or just in general landing on the sidewalk and then smashing. This didn't happen yet in 2018, but I have actually fallen because I stepped on a bed of acorns before, and they roll, right? They're not... stuck in place. And so one time I was walking my dog and I went to pick up something, and I stepped on this bed of acorns, and the whole road just, it was gone. It moved out from underneath me and I fell flat on my rear end. So that was fun. But that's not what happened. I'm just telling you, acorns are dangerous. So I'm walking my dog on Wednesday and I can hear the acorns falling all around me in my neighborhood. And all of a sudden, one of them hits me in the head, which I knew was going to happen at some point, but it doesn't just hit me in the head. Somehow, it hits me right at the base, I would say, well, at your hairline and your forehead where they come together. So, you know, like some of you have a receding hairline, okay, but I don't. So it kind of hit me right at the top of my forehead, at the base of my hairline. And somehow it rolls down my face and gets lodged behind my sunglasses and is up against my cheek. It just sat there. I don't know how the acorn got there, but it hit me in such a way, and it must have had its speed, maybe it hit some leaves on the way down. It must have had its speed reduced by hitting a couple of different leaves on the way down or something, because it broke loose, it smacks me in the forehead, and then it literally rolls right down my face until it's behind my sunglasses and it's stuck to my cheek. Is that a roulette wheel? Yes, it was like that. And then it just sat there. I actually had to take off my sunglasses for the thing to get off my face. And I was so bewildered by the whole experience that for a while there, I couldn't figure out what was going on. What is this thing on my face? And then I realized the acorn was just stuck there. It's like the leaf, although no one could see it because it was behind my sunglasses. So some of you sent me tweets and jokes about the leaf that I had stuck to my forehead that I walked around my neighborhood stuck to my forehead for an hour and no one told me. Now, this was a little different because the acorn wasn't visible to you unless you're like Superman and you have X-ray vision, but it was stuck there behind my glasses. After I stopped being bewildered, I was like, ah, like pull my sunglasses off, and the acorn then fell to the ground. Seriously, any of you ever have that happen to you?
Gotten hit with them.
Yeah, no. I knew that was going to happen. I did not know it was going to stick to my face. Only me. Seriously, only happens to me.
Nature loves you.
Yes. One of my friends from my previous network sent me a tweet after I tweeted it on Wednesday morning. I'm not making this up either. I wish I was making it up. And he says, that's a sign of good luck in 7 countries. I don't know if that includes the United States or not, but... it would be awesome if that was a sign of good luck. Nope, I just think it's the right place at the right time with the right pair of sunglasses.
It's a sign to eat candy corns.
I think a candy corn is too narrow. It wouldn't have gotten stuck behind my sunglasses. But the acorn, yep, lodged itself right in there. It was happy. Had a new home. It was like, next comes the squirrel. It's going to stick his hand in there and try to get it out. Yeah, crazy. First time in my life that's ever happened. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk hockey. Because we got an early Stanley Cup final rematch, and Alan May of NBC Sports Washington will join us to talk about the Capitals' start to the season, how different it feels when they're Stanley Cup champs, and also a little bit on the Vegas Golden Knights, who are in their second season as a franchise. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Right side, Kuznetsov with 5 minutes gone here. Back door for Backstrom. He scores! From the right side, Kuznetsov on a string, feeding Backstrom, and it's 3-1 Washington. Here comes Kuznetsov in what is now 5-a-side. Kuznetsov with room, looking, and now the pass across, they score! Ovechkin from Kuznetsov makes it 4-2 Washington. Caps in their own zone, Niskanen. I head to T.J. Oshie. Oshie takes a shot at it and scores. That'll do with 1:55 to go. Oshie's fourth of the year makes it 5-2 Washington. Yeah!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Hasn't gotten old yet. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. John Walton on the Capitals Radio Network. And it was a rematch early in the season, the Stanley Cup Final, that made the Caps Stanley Cup champs for the first time. After Hours on CBS Sports Radio, we'll get to some of your tweets and your memes and your Facebook posts coming up. But we're pleased to welcome Alan May, former NHL left winger and from NBC Sports Washington, the Capitals analyst. Alan, good to get a couple minutes with you. Kind of cool to get this rematch early in the year. What was the atmosphere like inside the arena as all of those memories come flooding back from last June?
Well, last year at this time, the arena would not have been full, and there was every person in every seat that they have in the building was sitting in it, and they sat there all game. I think they were waiting for it. They were dying for this rematch, and it wasn't as special as the playoffs. It didn't have that same intensity, but once again, the Caps just, you know, they found a way to wow their hometown crowd, and it's just been a dream to start the season the way they've started off here.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was talking about this on my show last night, whereas once a franchise that has never won a particular championship, whether it be the Eagles with the Super Bowl, whether it be the Astros with the World Series, or the Capitals with the Stanley Cup, it tends to produce a bit of a relief and get that weight off the shoulders of not just the team itself, but the fan base. So how different has it felt to start this year with the Capitals being the reigning champs?
Well, what's kind of funny about the entire thing is the fans here, and I've been covering this team for 10 years now, is that they've kind of had this woe is me attitude, and, you know, they felt like they were cursed, and, you know, the Caps were, you know, one of those teams that was always going to be doomed and break their heart. And now you're seeing people with this look on their face in the arena and all around town. They're just so happy with this team that it's brought them so much joy that the angst and the bitterness isn't there anymore. And then the team could go out and play the way they have at home. The positive energy that's coming from the fans, and then the way that the team has been playing at home, and it's just been two games at home, but it's been overwhelming. Just an incredibly good feeling. The way they've been on the ice and the way it's transported to the fans and just the energy in the building is I've never seen anything like it at the start of the season.
You know, it's interesting, too, because at the beginning of last playoff run, they couldn't win at home. And it really was them turning it around on their own ice that helped propel them to the Stanley Cup. When you look back at that, remembering the 0-2 hole that they put themselves in against Columbus, what stands out about the way they started to play inside their own building?
Well, the biggest thing is that they should have really won those first two games against Columbus. They dominated them for 99% of the game, and they got themselves into penalty trouble. But the biggest thing was showing how resilient they were, and they're being able to adapt and figure things out, not get frustrated, not get flustered, not tear each other apart, stick together as a team in every round of the playoffs. And they just found a way to, no matter what was thrown at them, they found a way to adapt and overcome and improvise, overcome and win those games. So you know, it's just that they've realized not to push the panic button anymore, and I think the maturity with that has really helped this team grow.
Yeah, you could certainly feel that confidence, and as you talk about that growth, when it results in a championship, you recognize, okay, that's how it's done. We're spending a few minutes with Alan May, who's fresh off the NBC Sports set following the Washington Capitals win over the Golden Knights, an NHL analyst with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. I had a couple of goals from Alex Ovechkin. Certainly seems like he's the man in 2018, and everybody envies the way that he spent his offseason. So what do we know about him to start the year after what was this dream stretch of a few months where he finally got to enjoy all of the fruits of his labor?
Well, he's finally got that 8-million-pound gorilla off of his back, and there's a lot of relief with that. I've never not seen him put his best foot forward and give his all-out effort. And, you know, sometimes it was in the wrong directions, but he's really figured out how to manage his game now. And right now, he is so lucky, so grateful, so happy to be able to play with a center like Evgeny Kuznetsov, who is going to probably challenge for the scoring lead in the National Hockey League this year, who led the playoffs in scoring last year. And they're on fire to start the season. And he's just making sure he's got a stick available to shoot the one-timer to snap it off and bump pucks into the net, because Kuznetsov's in another world right now as far as getting the puck and handling it, moving it up and down the ice, and making sure he's getting it to Ovechkin when he's wide open.
I hope they're not after you.
No. That's DC for you, late night.
Yes, of course. What else is different about this team? I know they're without Tom Wilson for 20 games, but what's different about the 2018-19 version of the Capitals?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that they realize how important the play is without the puck and how much offense you can create from playing smart, intelligent defense. And you have to do it as a five-man group when you're playing at even strength. And they realize it's not just about scoring goals and the all-out offensive attack and hunting teams down and trying to out-physical them. I think they realize now that they have to adapt to different times during the game. But the number one thing that they all realize, whether they're, you know, a 21, a 22-year-old player or the older guys, is that it's all about how you play without the puck. And then when you have the puck, you don't want to give it away. But I really think their attention to detail is what's carried over from last year, and it's what will make them another strong, you know, contender to win the Stanley Cup this season.
Has anybody at all talked about this idea of, I'm using my air quotations, of a Stanley Cup hangover? Because that seems to be something that locker rooms worry about, they guard against. Anybody bring that up?
Well, the media has nonstop, and it's one of those things, and they you know, continue to badger, you know, the players and the coaching staff with the questions about a hangover. And the biggest thing, you know, the players all do their homework and the coaches do their homework, and they talk to other teams that have won the Cup and ask them, what do you have to worry about? And the biggest thing is that the players, the top guys, Ovechkin, Backstrom, Oshie, Brooks Orpik, all the older guys, the leaders, they've got to make sure that they do not let, you know, you call those guys the leadership group. You got to make sure that you don't let complacency set in anywhere in the lineup. It can't infect the room. So whether it's team meetings, workouts in the gym, practices, you name it, the players got to be ready to perform every night. They've got to be held to a higher standard than they've ever been held to, because everyone's not just gunning for Ovechkin now. They're gunning for the team. They're gunning for the Washington Capitals as the defenders of the Stanley Cup, which they'll be for, you know, all 82 games this year. And so they realize that. And right now the proof is in the pudding with this team. All the top guys are producing early in the season. They've all come ready to play, and they've all been giving their best efforts. So we're not seeing a hangover right now. But they've got to make sure, and it's going to be on Ovechkin. He showed great leadership last year, is to continue to push players and hold them accountable to make sure that they're playing at the best of their abilities every single night.
Alan May is a former NHL winger himself, now with NBC Sports Washington, covers the Capitals in D.C. It's after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Sometimes it's not so much about the hangover, it's about literally playing until the very last game of the season, and the fact that they have a shorter offseason. And right now it doesn't appear to be signs of fatigue, but how much is that also a concern when you think about how deep they played into June?
Well, this team is used to working out for 6 weeks by the time they were finished this year, and, you know, 6 weeks to 8 weeks and, you know, getting a head start in their offseason workouts. The biggest thing is they did a great job of scheduling October and only doing 10 games. So they've got a lot of days off. They've got days where they've had practice. They've been really brisk They've had more days in the gym than they normally would have at this time of year. So they're using, you know, they were pretty intelligent in the way they used September to get the players, continue to let them get their conditioning. And then here in October, they've got a lot of days off. So they're making sure they're getting their rest, catching up on what they lost over the offseason. So I think they did a really good job of planning going into this season about fatigue and about being ready and about being healthy and ready to defend the title.
Mm. I'd love to get your opinion on the Vegas Golden Knights. Now, having a chance to think about their inaugural season that took them all the way into the Stanley Cup final, in perspective, how impressive is that?
Well, it's one of the greatest stories in the history of sports when you look at how big the leagues are now and how many teams. It's not like a 6 or 8 team league where you have an expansion team and all of a sudden they come in and they've got all, you know, legitimate players from other teams. The Golden Knights were an expansion team last year that surprised everyone. They played for a higher purpose, something bigger than them just winning games. It was about their community. And absolutely, to look back at what they were doing and that they could have actually won the Stanley Cup would have been the all-time greatest story, I think, in sports as far as team sports are concerned. And now they have teams gunning for them because they were the Golden Knights that went to the finals. And I think now they're not going to be able to slip through the cracks and fool everyone and sneak up on them because everyone's going to take them serious for being as good as they were last year.
Mm, for sure. They don't necessarily have the same bullseye, but people aren't going to get surprised by them in any way, shape, or form. All right. You can find Alan on Twitter at MayHockeyNBCS from NBC Sports Washington. Capitals analyst, former NHL player himself. Off to a good start with the reigning Stanley Cup champs. Alan, thank you so much.
Yep. Thanks for having me. Take care.
I think it's fun to watch these teams operate after they have finally reached that the pinnacle of their sport, but then have to accept a new challenge. We know it's really difficult to repeat for a lot of reasons. So Alan mentioned the bullseye on the back of the Stanley Cup champs, and that's always the case. When you're the best, everybody is attempting to knock you off the top of your mountain. So you're the one that everybody's gunning for. But there's also this idea of potential complacency, or okay, we did that, now we can relax and enjoy the spoils. We can be fat and happy because we finally achieved our goals. It is difficult to keep that same motivation, that same edge, that same intensity. Now, you know what it takes to get there, but it's harder to do when you've got everything working against you. Not to mention, this happens sometimes, we see it in the NFL a lot, where there's such a hard salary cap that makes things so difficult. Guys achieve the team success and then want to get paid on their own, and they look to maybe get a bigger paycheck somewhere else. So there's a lot of things that work in opposition to champs, and I like to see how they respond. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. If you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.